Let's sit down once again with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for our weekly catch-up, some of the big stories coming from the charity. Matt, thank you very much for joining us. All refreshed after your week away?
Yes, I mean, I can extol the virtues of a week off, but as we've just been discussing, you come back into work and still have a very full agenda when you come back, so it's been good to be back in harness this week, really, yeah.
Okay, let's crack on with some of the stories for today then. I think we really have to talk about the cost of living crisis. There's been some announcements, and it's also something which RNIB has been looking into to provide some help, support and advice for our customers.
Good to talk about it today. You know, clearly Rishi Sunak stood up in Parliament, made some announcements which we're just digesting. I think from what I've seen so far, 15 billion quid of money given in various forms, which we need to understand, you know, what that average is going to mean for blind and partially sighted people. But, you know, we will be naive to think that in any way completely addresses the problem. I mean, the first thing is to say, look, you know, we have got a lot of thinking and advice available for people, which is very visible as the main item on our website. We have got some fact sheets and some help on the cost of living itself and on some help around banking, and we'll be updating our information as events unfold. I think, and then to that point about events unfolding, you know, we're very keen to get insight from people, and we've opened up channels to get insight from people, and we're doing it internally as staff as well, so we can generate ideas to help people, you know, whether that's advice around engaging utility companies, what we might do on things like groceries, highlighting areas of welfare to access, you know, all those things are valid. So we just encourage people to sort of feedback to us as well. And we need to be on this as a very serious thing. So, you know, just please, I would encourage the listeners to engage with us and give us insight, but watch, you know, our output, which will be updated very regularly, and try and provide just better and better and better advice.
Indeed, please do have a look at the website. We'll give the contact details a little bit later. Another important topic, Matt, is education. Still a lot of concern over the attainment gap for blind and partially sighted pupils and students, and real concerns over accessibility, things like qualified teachers for visual impairment. You know, we often think that COVID has exacerbated that, but, you know, it has existed before COVID and it still exists now.
I think we've talked before on this programme that we've done a lot to launch the visually impaired curriculum framework, which basically gives a framework for how teachers can engage with VI students and give them the appropriate support in education so that they have, as you know, an equitable experience as sighted children. And we know from the research, which is pretty unarguable, that there's about a 30% gap in attainment between visually impaired children and sighted children. So, you know, as the RNIB, we're very keen to try and do something about this, which won't be an overnight fix. It'll be a slow burn. But the most recent thing we've done meaningfully is, and it is a really fantastic initiative, is to launch this VI curriculum framework, which we did back in March with about 900 education professionals and others joining us for the virtual launch of that, alongside one or two other organisations in our sector and people like the University of Birmingham, who we've done it with. The reason why, you know, we're talking about it today is that every year we produce a sort of report, which is called Still Left Out of Learning, whereby we go through a Freedom of Information request and ask local authorities what their budgets are on sort of full-time specialist visually impaired teaching support. And we have found that over 60% of local authorities in England have either frozen or actually reduced the investment or the spend on VI teaching support, which is terrible. And we've seen last year with some high profile cases like Newham, who halved it arbitrarily, and we got stuck in to correct that, that, you know, this can be a lazy decision taken locally, and one of which exactly, you know, sort of highlights why this attainment gap is a problem. Marsha de Cordova this week stood up in the House of Parliament and cited our report to the government, who accepted, you know, the thrust of her statement. And Marsha was an incredibly eloquent and, you know, sort of experienced MP when it comes to this topic. And the government, you know, doing a review into special educational needs at the moment, and you know, will fold this report and our thinking with the endorsement of the likes of Marsha into their thinking. But, you know, as we have seen in all my time at the RNIB, these numbers have been pretty unimpressive every year, and it just really sort of makes the point about why the focus we're putting on this is very necessary.
Moving from education then to entertainment, another campaign, and I did a petition which we'd like people to get involved in. RNIB along with RNID are campaigning for more audio description. There's also subtitling and captioning for video on demand services, because we are we are engaging with our TV programmes and movies on demand now, but they still have a way to catch up on audio description and accessibility.
We're all using streaming services now. I know Netflix have just sort of talked about their subscriptions reducing because of the cost of living crisis, but, you know, averagely, we're all consuming more media through streaming, and we would expect those providers to provide it in a fully accessible service. And the reality is that less than a fifth of video on demand service providers licensed by Ofcom offer audio description, which is terrible. And we know as an organisation where we've stepped in on things like Christmas adverts, that we've got the grocers to do it, you know, working with the production companies they've been using. And so it really isn't beyond the wit of man that this can be done. And so we've got a petition, which I'd encourage your listeners again to go via our website and other social media channels, find it and sign it. And we will be, you know, using this petition along with the RNID, as you say, and others, to go back to the government and the producers and get them to change. And the reality is actually that there is an act passed in 2017, the Digital Economy Act, you know, that does actually, you know, pave the way for this and does exist in law. But for whatever reason, it seems to be sitting there in abeyance with no one too bothered about sort of conforming to it. So whilst it seems a sort of smaller scale thing than some of the other things we've discussed, actually, it makes a big difference to people's lives to have, you know, media and entertainment accessible, particularly in a world whereby people have been a little bit more housebound over the last couple of years. And it just highlights again sort of, you know, the injustice and the sort of rather lazy lack of thinking about why this hasn't been done before. So I just asked your listeners to go online, and it will be great to get that number up, and then we'll use that petition to try and agitate for the change to happen.
Indeed, we'll give the details of that a little bit later. And just finally, Matt, it's a busy week coming up. We've got the Jubilee, of course, quite close to the RNIB, and National Volunteers Week as well.
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee and, you know, some great national events and great to celebrate 70 years of service. It coincides, I think, deliberately, because it's part of the celebration of the Platinum Jubilee, is the contribution that volunteers make across the nation. I think we've talked before, Alan, we're part of a broader group where a lot of the organisations in the country that have a lot of volunteers providing some great service, you know, have been working to sort of celebrate that. And there will be some national focus on that, I think, on the Sunday with the sort of volunteers lunch. And I think there's one or two programmes coming on the television on BBC and ITV that particularly highlight the contribution volunteering has made to the country. So, yeah, for us, we absolutely are celebrating and thanking our volunteers. We've got some events to sort of help people celebrate with some tea parties and things. I'm going down to visit one of our sort of strong hubs of our volunteers down in Devon around our reading services in Ivory Bridge on Wednesday. And, you know, we'll be sort of thanking our volunteers up and down the country who do such a sort of sterling job for the RNIB. And I know you've got, you know, some programme to sort of celebrate volunteering as Volunteering Week unfolds. So it's just nice to highlight it today with you to the listeners, and look forward to a great week next week.
Indeed, our fantastic army of volunteers. Now, if you would like any more information on the topics we've been discussing, or would like to sign the petition around audio description, please do head to the website rnib.org.uk. You can also call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. If you have an Amazon Echo device, just ask Lady A to contact RNIB's helpline. That's it for this week, Matt. We'll catch up with you again soon, and thank you once again for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, thank you, Alan, and look forward to speaking next week when we're in the throes of the Jubilee celebration. So looking forward to it.